Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. We are talking with Pastor Parviz as part of our series on the feasts of the should I say the Old Testament calendar?
Or the Feast of the Church before Jesus.
The Feast of the Church before Jesus. There we go.
Well, perhaps before the incarnation.
There we go. Yes,
Jesus is always there.
That's right. Yeah, that would be more accurate. Before the incarnation.
That's pretty theological, isn't it?
So the feasts of the church before the incarnation, like if we were to make an acronym out of that, that would be really long, wouldn't it? Last time we talked about Rosh Hashanah, and and we briefly mentioned the High Holy Days. What are the High Holy Days in the calendar of the church year before the incarnation?
Well, I mean, certainly the High Holy Days is a phrase that I'm sure is not in the scriptures and has been given to the season that begins with Rosh Hashanah and ends with the sundown of Yom Kippur. And, you know, in the scriptures it says the first day of the seventh month is the Feast of Trumpets, Rosh Hashanah, and then the 10th day of the seventh month is Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. And so typically what would happen, of course, in the time of the pilgrimage, if you will, is you had the temple, and you had these, and I think God gave us these sort of pilgrimage feasts to bring people to Him and to bring us back from the inclination we have is to always work hard. And, you know, I think that was the whole thing with the releasing us from bondage in Egypt. We really had to learn how to rest. That's one of the reasons why He gave us the Sabbath, because we've been used to being slaves. We didn't get a day off. And so He says, you know, you guys have a great work ethic, but you need to take some time off and chill. And so, you know, in some sense, He does that too with the pilgrimage festivals by saying, you know, all that work that you have to do, just let it go and come to the temple. And so people come to the temple. And of course, Yom Kippur is one of the pilgrimage festivals where you would raise up this this perfect lamb or perfect, you know, mm-hmm. in Jesus' time, you have the money changers and the people who are selling lambs, because people who perhaps didn't have the wherewithal to bring something had to buy something. They had Roman coinage, which they couldn't spend at the temple, so the money changers are there. They change it into the shekel, the temple money, and then you take your shekels to the next booth, and you buy your sacrifice, you take it to the priest, and you have this, I mean, it becomes just such, it's not at all what God intended. I mean, He just wanted us to come and just relish the forgiveness that He desires to give us. But of course, we make it into ritual. We make it into, you know, something that's, you know, that Jesus finally got ticked off and turned over the tables and said, "No, no, no, this is not what it's meant to be." But you have this whole season that's brought to us by the trumpets, and then, you know, during these High Holy Days, what the Jewish community does now is, as I might have said, the High Holy Days sort of become the Christmas and Easter of the synagogue schedule. Interestingly, as you may or may not know, the synagogue doesn't take offerings because you're not allowed to carry money on the Sabbath. So synagogue coffers, if you will, are built not by offerings, but by membership dues, and then by selling tickets to High Holy Days services, which are standing room only. I think our churches could very easily kind of help our budget crunches by selling tickets to Christmas and Easter services. But this is what happens in the synagogue, unfortunately. And so there's all this pressure on coming to the services. And what happens is on Rosh Hashanah, you know, you're brought here, you hear the trumpet blown, and we are told, as I said before, that God opens these three books. And then you spend the next 10 days doing prayer, fasting, repentance, and good deeds to try somehow to make yourself righteous enough that when Yom Kippur comes and the trumpet is blown again, because here's what happens. We know, and one of the questions I often ask Jewish people, is how are your sins being atoned for? Because we know that in 70 AD, the temple was destroyed and the sacrificial system stopped. There was no more sacrifices. So how are your sins being atoned for? And what we are told by our rabbis is that at some point, in fact, it's 90, there was a council that came together, and the rabbis essentially decided that we have no more temple, we have no more sacrifices, so we have to make our own atonement before God. This is not in the Bible. It's not in the Hebrew scriptures. There's nothing there about making our own atonement. In fact, the whole testimony of the scriptures is that we can't do that. And yet, because of this horrific event in history, we have now tried to make our own atonement by prayer, fasting, repentance, and good deeds. And then we're taught that if we do a good enough job of that, our name will get perhaps written into the book of life, and yet we're never told at the end of Yom Kippur which book our name was written in. And so you are constantly left on this treadmill until at some point in time, God rejects your prayers and you die. Because, you know, if you ask somebody, how do you know which book your name is written in, you'll often get the response, if I live to hear the trumpets next year, my name was in the book of life. So it's just for a year. And certainly that's not what God intended when he gave us this picture. Mm-hmm. And the sad thing, of course, is during the High Holy Days, and we recognize this, one of the great texts that we celebrate on Monday, Thursday is Jeremiah 31. And in Jeremiah 31, you know, God is saying through Jeremiah, you know, I gave you these things, but you just made them into laws and you couldn't keep them. And so I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to change. I'm going to take away this temple that has become such a millstone around your neck. And I'm going to take the law that you can't keep and you keep trying to keep without recognizing that you can't. And I'm going to write it on your hearts and put it in your minds. And you're going to be my people. I'm going to be your God. And I'm going to forgive your sins and remember your wickedness no more. That's the Day of Atonement. And, of course, we celebrate that every Sunday that we celebrate the Lord's Supper, that Day of Atonement that God, you know, God took us and he made the sacrifice for us and wrote it, you know, by the power of the Holy Spirit, wrote it on our hearts. So when we celebrate Yom Kippur now, it's a festival, if you will, of atonement that we celebrate. And in some sense, it's connected to our Good Friday celebration. Because in the fall, when we celebrate Yom Kippur, it is a reminder of what God intended for us, which was a promise that the time is coming when I will do this for you. You have no power to do it on your own. So, you know, it is unfortunate that whenever we have these wonderful pictures that God has given us, we tend to try to, I think through minutiae, try to make them something that we can do. And, you know, the Jewish people are not the only ones who do that. All of us are trying to self-justify. And you know, we all rationalize and we all have to be brought to our knees and we all have to be shown that it's not about us, it's about God. And that's what the High Holy Days are all about for us, is just to remind us that it's not about us. One of the real blessings of understanding these High Holy Days in the light of Jesus is the prayer that closes Yom Kippur. Usually you end with Yom Kippur in the scriptures, it says deny yourselves. And so it's been interpreted as being a fast day. And so you have a break fast at the end where everybody comes together and shares food. That's just kind of a normal thing. But before that, we have these great prayers called Ne'ilah that are prayers that the gates of heaven will be open to us. But we're told that we have to get these prayers in before sunset because the gates of heaven are closing. And we make this, again, this great picture that, you know, Rosh Hashanah starts with Advent. And Yom Kippur is the end of our Advent season, if you will, because in Revelation, there's a great text in there that talks about that the gates of heaven are never closed to those who have faith in Christ. And so you have these great connections between the gates of heaven that for Jewish people are closing at sunset, so we got to get our prayers in before so God can hear them, to the reality that God's intent for us is never to close the gates of heaven to us. And in Christ, that never happens. So it's just a real cool time to celebrate that sort of Advent season in the fall.
So we've talked about Rosh Hashanah, High Holy Days, Yom Kippur, then.
The Day of Atonement.
Day of Atonement.
Yeah.
Is there more about the Day of Atonement?
It's interesting because one of the things I find fascinating with regard, because understand that St. Paul in the book of Romans talks about how it is his heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites that they may be saved. There's a clear understanding in the scriptures. And in fact, the Jewish people are the only ethnic group that the scriptures mention that the gospel is to go out to. All the other ethnic groups are caught up in the phrase the nations. And so, you know, if we have a clear scriptural admonition to share the gospel with all people, and especially the Jewish mm-hmm. people, but the Jewish people, because of by nature, I think of their persecution that they've suffered under the face of the cross over the last 2,000, 3,000 years, if you will, we just want to leave them alone and let them be, and we can't do that. One of the things that I find very interesting.
Hold on to that thought.
Oh, are we done?
We're going to have to finish our topic of Yom Kippur next week. We'll do it. We'll revisit and we'll talk about Yom Kippur next week.